The revolution my supporters refer to will persist long after my retirement from politics. Here is my effort to give them a long-term manifesto based on ideas and perhaps some short-term marching orders. At the same time, I am also describing what the agenda of George W. Bush's successor should be if we want to move toward a free society once again. Our country is facing an unprecedented financial crisis precisely because the questions our political and media establishments allow us to ask are so narrow. Whether or not politicians actually want to hear them, it has never been more important for us to begin posing significant and fundamental questions. In all affairs, Bertrand Russell once said, it's a healthy thing now and then to hang a question mark on the things you have long taken for granted. I'm not in the habit of quoting Russell, but when in American history has his sentiment been more true? Chapter 2. The Foreign Policy of the Founding Fathers. Our Founding Fathers gave us excellent advice on foreign policy. Thomas Jefferson, in his first inaugural address, called for peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. George Washington, several years earlier, took up this theme in his farewell address. Harmony, liberal intercourse with all nations are recommended by policy, humanity, and interest, he maintained. But even our commercial policy should hold an equal and impartial hand. Neither seeking nor granting exclusive favors or preferences. Washington added, the great rule of conduct for us in regard to foreign nations is in extending our commercial relations to have with them as little political connection as possible. Why quit our own stand upon foreign ground? Why, by interweaving our destiny with that of any part of Europe, entangle our peace and prosperity in the toils of European ambition, rivalship, interest, humor, or caprice? Unfortunately, we have spent the past century spurning this sensible advice. If the Founders' advice is acknowledged at all, it is dismissed on the grounds that we no longer live in their times. The same hackneyed argument could be used against any of the other principles the Founders gave us. Should we give up the First Amendment because times have changed? How about the rest of the Bill of Rights? It's hypocritical and childish to dismiss certain founding principles simply because a convenient rationale is needed to justify foolish policies today. The principles enshrined in the Constitution do not change. If anything, today's more complex world cries out for the moral clarity of a non-interventionist foreign policy. It is easy to dismiss the non-interventionist view as the quaint aspiration of men who lived in a less complicated world, but it's not so easy to demonstrate how our current policies serve any national interest at all. Perhaps an honest examination of the history of American interventionism in the 20th century, from Korea to Vietnam to Kosovo to the Middle East, would reveal that the Founding Fathers foresaw more than we think. Anyone who advocates the non-interventionist foreign policy of the Founding Fathers can expect to be derided as an isolationist. I myself have never been an isolationist. I favor the very opposite of isolation: diplomacy, free trade, and freedom of travel. The real isolationists are those who impose sanctions and embargoes on countries and peoples across the globe because they disagree with the internal and foreign policies of their leaders. The real isolationists are those who choose to use force overseas to promote democracy rather than seek change through diplomacy, engagement, and by setting a positive example. The real isolationists are those who isolate their country in the court of world opinion by pursuing needless belligerence and war that have nothing to do with legitimate national security concerns. Interestingly enough, George W. Bush sounded some of these themes when he ran for president in the year 2000. By that time, many Republicans had grown weary of Bill Clinton's military interventions and forays into nation-building and wanted to put a stop to it. Sensibly enough, Bush spoke of a humble foreign policy, no nation-building and no policing the world. In 1999, then-Governor Bush declared, "Let us have an American foreign policy that reflects American character, the modesty of true strength, the humility of real greatness. In a debate with Vice President Al Gore the following year, Bush said, "I'm not so sure the role of the United States is to go around the world and say, this is the way it's got to be. I think one way for us to end up being viewed as the ugly American is for us to go around the world saying, we do it this way, so should you." Bush also rejected nation building. Somalia started off as a humanitarian mission and changed into a nation-building mission, he said. And that's where the mission went wrong. The mission was changed, and as a result, our nation paid a price. And so I don't think our troops ought to be used for what's called nation-building. He added, "I think what we need to do is convince the people who live in the lands themselves to build the nations." Maybe I'm missing something here. We're going to have a kind of a nation-building corps from America?